I am Daniel Fuller from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our monthly message for the month of September, which is Don't Despise Small Beginnings. So we're going to be doing, we're going to get started with prayer here in a second, and then we're going to be going through, we got some updates coming up on God's calendar, on the yearly cycle that we go through. We're going to be going through some of those updates, and then we're going to be talking about this message for the month, which is Don't Despise Small Beginnings. Let's just get started with prayer, and then we'll get into this from there. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together, and to bless this month of September that's coming up, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do both today and this month what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you, and to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to get started with a few yearly cycle updates. We've got a big time of the year coming up on God's calendar. So in September here of 2021, on the evening of September 6th is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is also called Rosh Hashanah. The Feast of Trumpets starts, like I said, the evening of September 6th. That's like the Jewish New Year's Eve. And that starts a period of 10 days called the 10 days of awe. We'll dive into these just a little bit more here in a second, but I want to give you the big picture of the calendar first. That starts something called the 10 days of awe. And so the 10 days of awe go from the evening of September 6th to the evening of September 16th. And that last day, the last day of the 10, is what's called the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement was considered to be the holiest day of the year in the Jewish culture. And Yom Kippur goes from the evening of September 15th to the evening of September 16th coming up. And so we're going to take a look at each of these days and what they mean for us and some practical things to do for us as well. So September 6th, Feast of Trumpets. Like I said, that's typically is thought of like New Year's Eve in the Jewish culture. They have a tradition where they typically eat apples with honey to symbolize it's going to be a sweet new year. Now, when you think of trumpet as a blast of the trumpet. It's a wake-up call. It's a call to action. It was also a call to battle. So I want you to think about, during this time, what do you know to do? Taking action, high levels of action and obedience on the things that you know to do. This is supposed to be the way we're living all the time, but we have an annual reminder of it just in case we ever get off track. And like I said, that night, September 6th, starts something very special time period on the calendar called the 10 days of awe. Think of awe, awe for God, awe, reverence, submission, honor, respect for God. And out of that awe for him, which is what? That's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Out of that awe for God, out of honor and respect for God, what are we going to do? We're going to forgive. We're going to receive God's forgiveness from him. We're going to let that flow through us to other people. Which means what? We got to receive it from God. We have to forgive and give ourselves that same grace to ourselves that God has given us. And we got to let it flow through us to other people. We got to let some things go. We got to reconcile some relationships. So in the Jewish culture, the Day of Atonement coming up at the end of the 10 days of Av was considered the holiest day of the year. That was the one day of the year when the high priest could go into the temple and make atonement for the sins of the people for the year. And that was the one day he could do that. So they put a huge emphasis on getting everything righted before that day. So we want to forgive. We want to get all relationships reconciled. We want to work on some mental conditioning. Again, these are things we should be doing all the time. We want to work on some mental conditioning. Any thought that's not lovely, just, pure, of good report, work on casting those thoughts down immediately and staying focused and magnifying the light, focused on God rather than the problems. And begin to train your mind in those areas. During these 10 days, this is not something that we do all year long, but I typically do a 10-day Daniel fast during this time. If you look in Daniel chapter 1, you'll see that Daniel did not want to defile himself with the king's food. So he did a 10-day, what's called Daniel fast, which is drinking only water and eating only foods that could be grown from a seed. So a vegan diet, basically, for 10 days. And I believe the reason he did that for 10 days was it was the 10 days of awe leading up to the Day of Atonement. And so every year I've started to do this. I've done it for about 7 or 8 years now, doing a Daniel fast during these 10 days. And we'll talk about how to do that here in a second. This is also a time to get your finances right. If you owe anybody money, you're late on payments, you have some things you need to, some action steps you need to take to get righted financially, this is a time to do so. This is a time to do so. This is also a time of generosity and charity in the Jewish culture. And most importantly, this is a time of action, of boldness. You want to have anything that's been piling up on the inside, any of those nudges of things that you know to do, but maybe you've been procrastinating on, getting them cleared out of the inside of you. You want to have a clean conscience by the time we get to the Day of Atonement. It's one of the most important things. We're taking high levels of action on anything that you know to do on the inside. Now, one of the benefits that happens with this is the Day of Atonement, which is that September 15th through 16th, the last day of the 10 days, is like a deadline on God's calendar. And anytime you put a deadline on something, as you get closer to that deadline, it begins to feel like time is slowing down. For those of you that watch sports, you think of a basketball or football game. At the end of the game, when the clock is about to end, time slows down. The last 2 minutes take like 20 or 30 minutes to play those last couple minutes. It's going to feel like time is slowing down. So you're going to have this opportunity to increase your productivity while time also feels like it's moving slower. And you're going to be able to get more done than you typically would in a day if you do this the right way. So let's talk about some of the details of this Daniel fast. So the way I typically do the Daniel fast, drinking only water, eating only things that can be grown from a seed. So fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, things like that. And we do that for 9 days. The 10th day, which is the evening of September 15th through 16th, is the Day of Atonement. And that day is typically a total fast. That day is a total fast, no food, no water, from about 6 p.m. on the evening of the 15th to about 6 p.m. on the evening of the 16th. So total fast. Now, what I would tell you is don't do this because I do it. Pray about it. Talk to God, ask him if this is something that he wants you to do. I'll give you some recommendations on how to make this a little bit easier for you as well, but pray about it and see if it's something that he wants you to do. Now, if you're worried about caffeine headaches, taking caffeine out of your diet for a few days, vitamin C can help quite a bit. Vitamin C detoxifies caffeine out of your liver and can help to reduce headaches and things like that. So you can put lemon juice or lime juice in your water, eating an orange every day. These types of things can help you with that. And what I would recommend, if you're going to do this, start practicing now. Start cutting back your caffeine by little bits now, so it's not just a huge drastic shift when you get to that day. Now, why are we doing the Daniel fast? The biggest reason I think of is this. Jesus says, "My meat is to do God's will. I came to do the work that he's prepared for me. My meat is to do his will." So for 10 days, what I want you thinking about, this is supposed to be a time of action. Doing the things that you know to do is your meat for this week. Doing them cheerfully and joyfully out of awe and reverence for God. Your meat is to walk in high levels of obedience, doing the things that you know to do. You eat the fruits and the vegetables and the whole grains and all those other things, but your meat is to do his will for these 10 days. And then the most important thing, you got to do it by grace. This is something you shouldn't just do it because you see it. You should do it. You should, if you're going to do it, you should pray, ask God if it's something he wants you to do. And if you get the green light from him, He says, yes, this is something I want you to do. Then you got to roll the pressure of it back onto him. I've done this before out of my own willpower and strength before, and it can be kind of grueling to do it that way. But if you'll say, God, this is something you want me to do, I'm going to roll the pressure of this onto you. You got to help me do it. Help me sustain this. And it will be one of the most easy and effortless things that you have done if you do it that way. So you got to do it by grace. So the Day of Atonement, like I said, that's the 10th day. From 6 p.m. roughly on the evening of the 15th to about 6 p.m. on the evening of the 16th. Again, this day is typically a total fast. Again, that's something to pray about. Don't do it because I told you to do it. Something to pray about. Ask God if it's something he wants you to do. And you got to do that by grace as well. So, hey, I need your help sustaining this. The Day of Atonement is a reminder that Jesus is your high priest. He was tempted. He was afflicted. He's been through whatever we're going through. And he can help to navigate us through the pressures of life. This is a time of year leading up into the Day of Atonement. You may experience some increases in pressure. Anytime we set a deadline, pressure typically increases as time slows down. So you may experience an increase in pressure. And one of the most important things to remember is rolling those pressures over to Jesus, your high priest, coming to him boldly and confidently to receive grace and mercy in your time of need. And if you've gone through the steps of these 10 days of awe and you're clearing out all those things that are on the inside that you know to do, what's going to happen is you're going to get more and more clear on the inside. You're going to notice that your mental clarity dramatically increases. And you're also going to increase in a big way your ability to hear clearly from God on the inside. When you begin clearing those things out on the inside of you, because they begin building up and stacking up, they block our clarity on the inside. God also told the people on the Day of Atonement, the people will be clean. I once had a friend of mine go through this process with me. And I remember texting him on the last day. I said, how do you feel? He said, I just feel clean inside and out. It's like we've cleaned out our physical bodies. We've cleaned out our minds. We've cleaned out our spirits. And we're just clear to hear. This was also the day in the Jewish culture that was considered the close of the year. It's like everything's coming to a cycle. The cycle of the year has come to an end. The circle of the yearly cycle has come to an end. And now it's time for God to come and fill it. It's kind of time for God to come and fill it. This is also the time of the year. In the year of Jubilee, when debts were forgiven, it was forgiven on the Day of Atonement. Now, in the Jewish culture, they typically break their fast with bagels, which bagels are what? A circle. Bagels are a circle. The yearly cycle has been completed. They typically break their fast on that evening with bagels. It's something that they do. So let's get into this, not despising small beginnings. So this, I was praying about, all right, Lord, what's our message for this month of September? And this verse just kept coming back to mind from Zechariah chapter 4. Here's what it says. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things, of small beginnings? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. So let's look at a couple things in this verse. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We talk about often learning to roll that pressure, kind of like we talked about with the Daniel fast, the Day of Atonement, rolling that pressure over to him, taking action on the things that we know to do, but doing it trusting in God's power, his equipping, his anointing flowing through us, his spirit doing the work. He says, what are you, mighty mountain? Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and it will be removed for you. God will remove it for you. And then he says, I'll bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. It's interesting. In the Bible, you'll see Jesus is referred to as both the cornerstone and the capstone. the cornerstone and the capstone. A cornerstone is like a reference stone. You get that cornerstone in place first, and then all measurements for all the other stones are based on that cornerstone. That's what it used to be used for anyway. And so you can think of Jesus as the cornerstone. He's our standard. Everything we do is measured in relationship to what he did for us, in relationship to his standard that he set for us. But he's also the capstone. The capstone, think of an arch coming up, and you got two sides of the arch coming up. The capstone connects the two sides. Think of Jesus as the head of the body. He connects everything together. In him, all the joints and ligaments and everything flows up to him and all connects into him. He's the one that holds it all together. He's the one that sustains it all. Without that capstone, the arch, the top would just fall on things. It would fall on things. And so it says, who dares despise the day of small things or small beginnings? Everything God does, he starts with a seed. Everything God does, he starts with a seed. But there's something hidden in this, I think. We have this idea of a capstone. We have small beginnings, starting small, being willing to grow it over time. We have it happening by God's Spirit, not by our force and effort. Those are all important themes. But then I started to look at, what is Zerubbabel? Every name in the Bible has meanings. What does Zerubbabel mean? Zerubbabel, if I'm even saying it correctly, says it means the seed of Babel, or it means to be pressed out of Babel. To be pressed out of Babel. We talked about this is a time of year. It's seed, starting small, starting with the seed, but also pressed. This is a time of year where you may experience some increased pressure. So we see here, it's from the verb zara, which means to scatter or to sow. So Zeru in Zerubbabel comes from the verb zara, which means to scatter or to sow. Babel comes from Balal, which means to mix into saturation. The verb Zer means to press down or out. And Babel means to mix it in. Okay, we're going to be pressed out of Babel. This idea, we're going to start small, but there may be some pressures, but it's going to be pressed out. God's going to begin to lead us out. And how does he lead us out? It's his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It's my sheep that follow me. It's his voice that leads us from the jaws of distress to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. So we're going to take communion here just over the upcoming month. Said, Heavenly Father, we're just asking just for your blessing on this month to help us by your grace, by your Spirit, by your power to walk out this month the things that you have planned for us. That we'll be tuned into you to follow your voice, and you're going to begin to lead us out. We're not going to despise the day of small beginnings, but we're going to rejoice in them. I'm just looking back at these scriptures here. Then we will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. We're going to rejoice in what God has done. Father, we just thank you for this bread and what it represents. We thank you for your steadfast, unfailing love for us. Thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Just the amazing plans and purpose that you have for our lives, Lord, helping us to walk that out this month. Thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, take it, receive it. Receive that he makes you right with God and holy and perfect. And he's the capstone. He's the one that holds it all together. We thank you for it, Lord. Just ask you to bless this bread in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's the forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God where we can know him and grow in our knowledge of him for eternity. So Father, we just thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's about walking it out. What are the things that you know to do in this month of September? Doing them not by your might, not by your power, but by God's Spirit within you. Taking action, taking small steps forward. Don't despise this day of small things, the day of small beginnings. Taking those steps one at a time. He's going to begin to lead you to this beautiful place. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.